No, I know it may or may not feel like it, but today is a new year. Yes. I'm still trying to get my brain wrapped around that. I know it's a new year, but I'm not sure that my body's caught up with that fact. So welcome to 2023. It's a new year. Nothing's happened yet, other than this morning, whatever that was, good or bad, and it has tons of possibility, tons of potential in this year. And we see the beginning of the year is a lot of time we make resolutions and stuff. Why? Because it's a time of new starts. You know, it's just kind of a natural break. You know, we can take a look at it and say, okay, boom, here is a dividing line. And it's just like everybody knows it is because the calendar changed from 22 to 23. And we can say, oh, okay, so this year, I'm now wanting to do this. I'm wanting to do that. And as I was praying about kind of what to talk about today, the one scripture that kind of kept coming up to me was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Today is a new year. 2022 is gone. 2021 is gone. 2020 is gone. And today is a new day. It's a new year, a new start. The old things are passed away. They're gone. They're not happening now. They've already happened. And this year, we need to forget about those things that have gone before. We need to let go of them and look forward. Stop worrying about, you know, what happened in 2022. Stop worrying about COVID. Stop worrying about what happens in the political realm. Stop worrying about, you know, the inflation rate and the stock market falling and the gas prices. These things are in the past. We can't change them. There's nothing we can do about them. But we can look forward to what's coming. And with all hope and all faith, knowing that God has a good plan for us. What are we going to do? This is a new year. What has gone before us is just the past. And the only thing that has bearing on the future is what we let it. The only way the past has a bearing on our future is if we let it. All these things that have happened to us, all these things that have gone wrong, you know, the election junk that happened. I mean, you can continue to be upset about it, or you can forget it. You can say, that's the past. I can't change it. But, they did bad. They did wrong. Well, you can't change it. You can't. So forget it. And move forward. You know, don't let what others have done wrong and maliciously and ignorantly hold you back from the potential that God has for your future. Look for the future. Look for what God has. Our hopes and our dreams, you know, are from the last year, our failures, our sufferings, all the stuff that's happened is done. And we can look to the newness of this year and make a fresh start. Right now. Determine in your heart you're making a fresh start. Determine in your heart that you're not going to let any of that stuff come back to you and frustrate you and have control over your life. You're going forward and you're picking a new path, a new plan, a new purpose for what God has for your life. What does God want for you? It's good. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but I'm saying it's good. Because most of the times, those things that are worth it take effort. It takes effort. And although we would love to just have everything just given to us and have no struggles whatsoever. But you know what? You appreciate things more when you struggle to get that. Whatever you choose in your future, whatever it is, you need to know that you're going to have to fight for it. Whatever path you decide to take, whatever direction, whatever it is that you want to change in yourself, whatever vision that God's begun to place in your heart to do, you're going to have to fight for it. You know, and one of those places that that battle happens, is right here. Right here in your mouth. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death is in the power of your mouth. You know, I remember growing up, we had this great little saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And there's truth to that. Words won't hurt you if you don't let them. But life and death is in the power of the tongue. Words have power. What you say matters. How you speak to people affects things. It can bring life or it can bring death to your circumstances, your situation, your family, your friends, your work, your church. What you say can bring life or it can bring death. So we need to start there. It's important what we say, how we say things. What's the intent behind it? Because sometimes you can say something that seems nice, but it's not really meant nice. And are we spreading life? You know, we have the Spirit of God inside of us. Are we spreading that life, that joy, that peace? Are we eating of the Spirit? Or are we just operating out of the flesh and causing death and destruction? James talks about the power of the tongue. James 3:6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Great. And set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Our tongue is a dangerous instrument, but it can also be an awesome weapon for good. An awesome weapon. And we have to realize that what we say out of our mouth affects where we're going in the future. You know, it has power. When you say, oh, I can't do that, you have just cut your own legs off with your tongue. You have removed your power and said, no, I can't do it. Well, then you can't. I mean, what else is there to do? When you say you can't do it, what do you do then? It'll never happen. What have you just done? You've just affected your outcome. Well, what do you do when you say that? Well, when you've made the mistake and said it, repent. And begin to speak what the Word says. We must align our speech with our destination. We need to align our speech with our destination. Where are you wanting to go? That's how you want to speak. You know what? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes, I've sinned, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ. The Spirit of God is in me, leading me and guiding me in all righteousness. And he's given me everything I have need of for life. God has empowered me to do this. This is the direction God is taking me, and I can do it. I don't know how to do it right now, but I can do it because God said this is the way that he wants me to go. I don't know what I need to know, but God's going to show me. God's going to teach me. And I'm going to follow him. It's amazing the power that our own tongue has. You know, you're laying in bed and you don't want to get up. You know, and you're just laying there and you go, I got to get up. And just saying that, how that empowers you to start moving your body and getting out of that bed. Or when you're trying to, you know, if you work out or do something like that, come on, I can do one more. I can do it. One more. One more. Of course, having, you know, your friend yelling in your ear, you can do it, you can do it, also helps. You know, it's our speech needs to be aligned with our destination. And one of the things that we need to do to help this is we need to work on our hearts. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's in our heart will eventually come out. And I'll tell you, honestly, sometimes I shock myself. I'm like, oh, that's still in there? You know? I'm like, wow, okay. I might have to change some things here. I don't like what's coming out. I don't like the way that I'm talking. I don't like the things that are being spoken out of my mouth. I don't like how I'm talking about things. There, I have some doubt and unbelief, and I'm not sure if I can do what God's called me to do. Well, my heart, I got a heart issue. So then I need to start working on my heart. Because my heart, if I change my heart, I change my mouth. You know, we could try to force our mouths, but the reality is what's in there will come out. I've heard it said that anybody can fake something for 6 months. Of course, I don't know. I guess it depends on what it is. You know, people can fake it for a while. They can pretend to be something. You can pretend to be something. But eventually what's in your heart will come out. You can modify your speech. You can begin to speak a certain way. But when push comes to shove and you get in the crunch, you know, and pressure starts pushing down on you, what's in you will come out. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. It's again that same idea. We need to guard our hearts. We need to keep an eye on what's going in and out of what's in us. Proverbs gives us an idea of how to change our heart, though. If you move up to Proverbs 20 and 22, so Proverbs 4, 20 and 22, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. In this scripture, Solomon gives us a key. He gives us an understanding. He says, my son, pay attention. Child of God, pay attention. Redeemed of the Lord, pay attention. Incline your ears to my saying, says the Lord, and do not depart them from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So see them. Look at what God says in the scriptures. Look at what God says about who Jesus is and what you are and who he's called you to be. Keep them before your eyes. Constantly think upon them. And hide it in your heart. Take it within you. Make it important. Something that you're not willing to give up on. And keep it in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. When somebody says something important, a nugget of truth, a golden saying, and you go, oh, that is so good. I'm going to remember that. You know, sometimes we say it flippantly, but sometimes there's things that are said and that we take that and we think about it, we meditate on that, and we hide it in our heart. You know, my dad said something to me when I was much younger, before I was married, and I was talking to dad, my dad, and I said, Dad, why? How did you stay together? How is your marriage so good? And he says, you know, people change. You just change with them. I hid that in my heart. Because I realized that was truth. That was awesome. That was something we needed to know. I needed to know. It's like as I grow in my life, in my marriage with Amy, it's like she's going to change and I'm going to change. And we just change together. You just change with them. You know, so I took that and that was probably 20 years ago. And I still remember it. I still remember because it was important to me. That moment, my dad sharing a truth with me, something he learned. And I said, well, and if you know my dad, he doesn't talk a lot. He doesn't share a lot. He doesn't open up a lot. And so this was important to me because he opened up and he shared that with me. And so I hid it in my heart and it's still there. It's become a truth. It's become a reality in me. And that's what it is. We take that when we're reading the scriptures and God says something, do we take it into our heart? Do we put it before our eyes and think about it, meditate on it, and let it become important to us? The way we say, no, this is important. This is a truth I believe. And somebody says, oh, well, yeah. Nowadays, there's no end to somebody who has a contrary opinion or a different idea or a different philosophy. You know, there was a time when everybody believed that the world was round, that it was a sphere. Now we've got this huge movement of people believing the earth is flat again. I find it a little amazing, honestly. I'm like, okay. But do you believe that the earth is a sphere? Or do you believe it's flat? Something that you've been told, is it important to you? I'm sorry, it's a sphere hanging in space. I'm sorry, that's just, if you're a flat earther, I'm sorry, you're just wrong. I love you, but you're wrong. Who we listen to is important. Oh. When I was young, When I was young, I was in choirs. And I was always in choirs, in church choirs. I was in school choirs and community choirs. I loved singing. I loved doing the songs and the choirs and the practice. It was just something I loved doing. And when I was, I must have been 16 or 17, and I was in 4-H, and we did a skit, and we did this, it was a skit, it had a song in it, and so we did it, and you know, it was, we had fun with it, and I remember there was this girl that I had a crush on, And she said, "Wow, you don't sing very good, do you?" I'm like, "Oh, okay. I apparently am not a very good singer. I don't sing as well as I thought." You know what? It really affected me. And I kind of pulled away from singing and stuff. I mean, I think I'm a fair singer, I think. I know that I can sing. But when I was in high school in choir, I remember my teacher telling me that I had a good voice, that I could do a solo if I wanted to. But what this girl said to me was more important than what my choir director said. Who we listen to is important. It can determine what you place or plant, what you place into your heart, what you plant in there, what you put. And it's just like, even talking about it, I can still feel that idea, that insecurity still in there, because it was I listened to it and the devil's used it. And so we need to be careful with who we listen to and who we allow to speak into our lives. And I don't mean just people, but I also mean things. What books are you reading? What blogs are you listening to or reading? What's the news say? Are we being careful and guarded when we're ingesting worldly things? Are we considering that what is coming at us has a demonic agenda? You know that when I absolutely believe without a doubt that the world was created in 6 days, that God spoke it into existence in 6 days. Everything. In the way that Scriptures proclaims it, that's what I believe. But everything that you consume from the world has an evolutionary bent to it. Creation is not an option for them. And so when we read things, are we aware that they're coming from that mindset? And that they don't agree with us? That they don't believe in God. Oh, do you guys know the book 1984? You've heard of it. Okay. For those of you that don't know what the book 1984 is, 1984 is a book that how do I say this? It's one man's idea of what the world would be like if communism had absolute control. I don't know when he wrote it, but but I read that and I'm looking at what's happening in this book and how they utterly controlled people and manipulated them. And I looked and years after I read it, just thinking about it and praying, and I said, you know what? The one thing that's not accounted for in that book is God. It doesn't account God. Because God gives us something that the world doesn't understand. That to live is Christ, to die is gain. So, oh, well, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to kill you. Great! I'm out of here. My rapture's coming today. You know, we don't have anything to be afraid of. When we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we are born again, that we sit in the bosom of God, that no matter what happens to us, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is but a moment, an instant. It's a difficulty that can be endured and I can overcome. And I'm going on to greater things. It's like I don't have to worry about it. And that's something that's not accounted for in that. It's a philosophy and an idea. It's a guy's opinion of what the world would be like. You ever watch these movies? You know, I shouldn't say that. There's the books, movies about dystopian realities. Most of the time, there's no God involved. There's no Christ. There's no godliness. It's just like everybody vying for the resources. The prepper mentality assumes that godliness ceases to exist. And unless the rapture happens, it's still going to be here. And God is not willing to let one perish. If there's a chance, he's going to try to get somebody saved. So it's important that we recognize and we realize the things that we are ingesting don't come from our worldview. They don't come from a Christian perspective. They're not biblical living. There's truths, there's ideas, there's things that we can learn from it. But don't swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Know that there's a greater truth, God's truth. And it's just like they don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of them teaching them truth. You can take what they're saying, and the Holy Spirit can show you where truth is and where error is. If you care to listen. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Who you hang out with matters. And that goes back into the what you read, what you listen to, what do you spend your time doing? What is it that you're... Whose company are you enjoying? Whose company are you enjoying? And if it's evil company, it corrupts good habits. There's a proverb that says, I'm going to get this wrong. I'll give you the idea. That if you hang out with an angry person, that you will begin to become an angry and violent person. And I had a friend when I was growing up, and he had an anger in him. I mean, scary anger. He wasn't an angry individual. He wasn't a mean person, but there was an anger in him that was, let's just say, I think that it was more than natural. And I spent a lot of time with him, and I began to exhibit some of that anger. Who we hang around with matters. Who we receive from matters. No, we need to be in the world. We need to be around people who are unsaved. Because otherwise, how are they going to hear Jesus? But understanding that we are in the give mode, not the receive mode. When we're with unbelievers, we can be friendly with them, but you shouldn't be in that relationship where you're going to allow them to tell you how to live your life. Because they don't have the same agenda. They don't have, you know, if you have parents that are unsaved, then you need to realize that their input only goes so far. As much as God influences through them, as they give you wisdom and insight, but there's some parents that are not healthy. What does the scripture say? There's some parents that are abusive. You know what? The scripture is more important. The truth of the scripture is more important than what a parent speaks into your life. Evil company corrupts good habits. It's nothing new. There's nothing new here. We need to guard our hearts. It's all stuff that's been said before, but it's something that we need to continually be reminded of. We need to guard our hearts. We need to take care of what we allow ourselves to think on. What are we ingesting? Things aren't getting better, people. Don't expect it to. It's not going to turn around in an instant. Boom. You know, we're standing on the prophecy of the River Valley. One of the things in there, and this is the one that is important to me, that people return to biblical living. You know what? People don't return to biblical living unless you teach people biblical living. And some people aren't willing to learn biblical living until they realize that the life that they're living now doesn't work. You know what that means? Messes. Disasters. Some people are so stubborn, the only way that they're going to learn is if they discover that what they think is true is false. Unfortunately, it takes us to a very difficult place sometimes. Now, we need to pray that their eyes be opened to see and to hear so that they don't go that far, that they begin to see the problem and recognize it. And we can pray about that because the God of this age is blinding their eyes. Guess what? We have authority over the God of this age, the devil, because Jesus Christ is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, I give to you. Go. And make disciples. You know what? In order to have a disciple, you have to have somebody who's willing to listen. And if they're willing, they need to be willing to listen, they have to be willing to see and recognize. So we have authority. I have hope for this year. I'm excited about what's going to happen this year. I think some amazing things are going to happen. I think that it's going to be exciting. We know God has spoken to us that things have changed and that God is drawing people into this church. He has 120 people that he's called by name to come to this church. He's called them by name. Means he has every intention that they should be here. He knows them. He knows who they are. They're his, and they're coming. And we need to keep praying for them. We need to keep sharing the love that God has placed in us, sharing the truth that God has placed in us, because we don't know exactly who they are until God reveals it to us. And we just share it. We share the truth. We share the love. We share the vision that God has placed on us, that we're here as a lighthouse in this area to bring life and hope to the people that are here. That though darkness abounds, there is yet light. Things are going to be good for you guys. You're blessed. God loves you. And he has good things in store for you this year. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally. No, I mean it. Finally. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and you've received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Father, we thank you that you love us and that you have a hope and a plan and a purpose for us this year. Lord, we want to be part of what you're wanting to do. Lead us and guide us. Lead us and guide us to what it is, the path, the direction, the hope, the plan, the purpose, the desire that you have for us this year so that we can walk in it. Lord, help us to speak life and not death. Help us to guard our hearts with all diligence, and help us to meditate on things that are worth meditating on, so that we can be uplifted and encouraged and always be ready to give glory and honor to you. We praise you and we acknowledge you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and worthy of praise. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a wonderful week, and we're going to have a great year.